Enchanted Sky Media.
This is Code 3, the podcast for firefighters. Now, here's your host, Scott Orr.
That's right, and I will not let Parkinson stop me. Thanks for joining me again this week. Today, we've got a great My Scariest Experience story. It comes from Central Arizona Fire Medical Authority Battalion Chief Brad Davis. Brad's been a firefighter since becoming a reserve in 1991, and this particular story took place early in his career. And joining me now is Brad Davis. Welcome to Code 3.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
How did you become interested in this career in the first place, Brad?
This goes way back to childhood. I know it sounds kind of quirky, but Johnny and Roy on the emergency TV show had a little bit to do with it, as well as growing up in Los Angeles, my uncle's best friend was a captain with L.A. County Fire Department. And so I went to the fire station, got to see him and ride on a fire truck and do some of that when I was a kid in grade school. And I was pretty much hooked after that and knew that that's always what I wanted to do.
So you not only got to watch Johnny and Roy, but you lived where they lived.
Yes, exactly.
You know, that's a pretty common story for firefighters of, say, our age who watched that show when they were kids.
Yep. I think if it wouldn't have worked out for me, I probably would have tried to be a highway patrol officer like Ponch and John.
And now you're a battalion chief.
Yes, sir.
So is it tough watching the other guys pull hose and do the firefighting while you sit in the fire SUV?
Yeah, the fire SUV. It can be. It can be. I enjoy my job. I enjoy what I'm doing. I like the fact that I'm not getting exposed to all the contaminants that go along with fighting fires like I did for all those years. That I'm sure will catch up with me later in life. But there are times when I definitely miss the adrenaline and that involved with the firefighting. And there have been times that I've told the guys this, that if I can actually see them spraying water on the fire from the outside of the house or whatever it may be, usually I'm watching through the windshield of my truck wishing that was me spraying the water.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of ironic that when you get really good at one thing in your career, the promotion means that you end up doing something totally different.
Yeah. Yep, definitely some differences now with my current position.
The reason that I wanted to talk to you today is that I hear that you have a scary story from early on in your career, and I was hoping you would tell us about that.
Sure, yeah. Still, you know, there's a lot of different things, you know, over the career. There's things that happen that stay in your, like your slide reel is a term that people use. Things that you remember as if it was a call that you went on yesterday, even if it was over 20 years ago. And this would probably be, roughly 22 years ago or so, that we got a structure fire call here in Prescott Valley. I remember that when the call came in, there was confusion on whether it was a brush fire or wildland fire or whether it was actually a house that was burning. So with that, we kind of split up. We took the fire truck and we took one of our smaller brush truck patrol units, and that's what I got assigned to, was to bring that. And we got there. It was a house on fire. One of our chief officers that I think was off duty that day showed up at the scene, and he actually partnered up with me. And he's actually our former fire chief, Chief Mike Parrish, very well-respected, tenured guy that's been doing this for a lot of years that we all looked up to. And he got partnered up with me. This house was burning. There was flames and smoke coming out the kitchen window on the south side of the house. And we got word that Grandma lived with the family, and she is probably still in the house. So we had two crews. One crew took a hose in the front door, and they were going to hang a left and knock the fire down that was in the kitchen. The smoke was probably 6 feet, 7 feet off the floor at that time throughout the entire house. We were given the task to go in and search as quickly as we could and try to find Grandma and get her out. So me and my partner, Chief Parrish, we hung a right while the other crew went left, but we did not have a fire hose with us, which is not something we do anymore. It was something we're willing to risk that particular day because it certainly sounded like we had a victim to rescue and needed to make it happen quickly. So we went into search on the right side of the house. We got down the hallway. The smoke now was down to the floor. You could not see your hand in front of your face. We're breathing through our breathing apparatus. And we were kind of taking turns as we got to a bedroom. One of us would wait at the door, and the other guy would search the perimeter of the bedroom real quick. And then we'd move on to the next room. We got to the master bedroom, and it was my turn. So he waited at the doorway. I did a right-hand search, and I got to probably the farthest corner of that bedroom that I could get to from the doorway where I'd left him when all of a sudden he started yelling at me. And he said, "We need to get out of here now. Get over here. We need to get out of here right now." And he's yelling. And I'll never forget it. And hearing it, not just anybody, but hearing, a super experienced, respected guy like him, and hearing that kind of panic, or not necessarily panic, but just hearing that tone in his voice yelling at me that we need to get out of there was pretty frightening.
So you didn't question him at that point. You just figured I better get out.
No, and as a young new firefighter, I did not follow the wall getting out, which looking back could have really put me in jeopardy. I pretty much beelined it straight across that room to his voice without being able to see where I was going. I got to the doorway with him. We started to make our way down the hall towards the front door, and as we were doing so, the flames were now running down the hallway about 2 feet above our heads as we were crawling out. I'll never forget, as we got towards the living room, there were spots on the carpet in the living room that were just spontaneously igniting on the carpet because it had gotten that hot in there. So really the whole house was getting ready to experience what we call flashover, where everything, ignites at once. And so we get to the front door, we help pull each other out of there, and come to find out, the crew that had taken the fire hose in to knock the fire down in the kitchen and make things safer for us, that there was a malfunction with the fire truck out on the street that was pumping the hose, and they never got water to the fire hose because the computer did not allow it was one of our first newer trucks as things got more computerized, and it did not allow the fire truck to go into pump. And so little did we know that whole time we were searching on the other side of the house, that crew never had water on the fire. So it just continued to grow and get worse during that time. So we made it outside and got out safely, but that certainly is probably the one and only time in my career that I probably feared for my life a little bit.
And it sounds like you were probably justified, but let me ask you this. Is this one of those situations where when you got out and found out there was no water that you became a little more concerned about what would have happened if you'd known?
Oh, absolutely. Because you definitely have a sense of that you're being protected if you knew that crew had water on the fire. But not, without any water on the fire, we would have never been in there at all. So, hey, Scott, I've got a car accident I have to respond to, so I'll give you a call there.
All right, thanks. Good luck.
All right.
And that sort of thing is bound to happen from time to time when you're interviewing firefighters. Brad went on his run, and when he came back, we continued the interview.
The important part of this is that Grandma was never in the house. So the reports we got from the neighbors that said Grandma was in the house, they just assumed that she was there because she lived there. But come to find out, she was not at the home at the time. So there was no victims to be rescued when we were deep into that house doing our search. There was no people in there.
Well, that may have made you feel one of two ways. You may have been frustrated, but also pleased that you didn't leave somebody behind.
Exactly right.
This sounds to me like the kind of story that you probably tell when you teach classes to newbies, am I right?
I've told some new guys the story. Yeah, absolutely. And you can probably tell from me telling the story that it doesn't seem like a typical story that's 22 years old. It's very, very fresh in my mind still.
So what did you learn from that?
I would make sure that whoever's fighting the fire has a charged hose line that's working properly, and that we're getting water on the fire. But also, we don't go into buildings without a hose. So in today's world, if a crew was going in to do a search while another crew was fighting a fire, each crew would have a hose line with them. We weren't really taught to go in and search places without a hose line, but I think we were going on the sense of the urgency that we had with that we truly thought that there was a victim that we needed to get out of there, and time was of the essence to get in there and do that. So we had just gone in and done it.
Right. Well, you've made it all this time with only one story like that, which is probably a testament to how things have been handled.
Yeah, I'm very lucky to work where I work and have the training and experience that we get here with our folks. I learned from a Chief Parrish being one of them, and a lot of other very experienced great guys over the years, and been able to learn a lot.
And speaking of that, how long do you think you're going to stay in the career before you retire?
My current plan, which seems to be holding for now, is that I will be leaving in 2026. That'll put me at 32 years of service.
Wow.
Full-time service. I was a reserve for 2 years and then got on full-time. So that'll be 32 years of full-time plus 2 years as a reserve.
That's pretty impressive.
And currently in my 24th year, but I got a ways to go yet.
All right, Brad Davis, thanks for joining me on Code 3 this week.
All right. Thank you, Scott.
And that's all for this edition. Thanks for listening. I'll be back next week with more. And if you like what you heard, spread the word. I'm Scott Orr, and until next week, see ya.
Code 3 is a production of Enchanted Sky Media. To get in contact with us, visit code3podcast.com. And if you haven't subscribed yet, you should. Don't miss an episode. Find us at the Apple iTunes Store, Google Play, or wherever you get your podcasts.